Welcome to Wisdom Unlocked, The Ways of God, a production of Lion's Share, a ministry that aims to co-mission with Jesus in making disciples of all nations. We ignite and provide resources to disciple makers in the church and throughout the vocations. In our world today, there is more information available than at any time in history, but wisdom is in short supply. In this podcast, you'll hear how learning about the character and ways of God is a guide to wisdom.
Hi, I'm Sonia Bearson, and I'm sitting here with Pastor Dave Buring, the founder and president of Lion's Share. And we're talking today about something a lot of people don't want to talk about, and that's spiritual warfare. And we're talking about it specifically as it relates to work. Now, spiritual warfare is one of those things that some people don't want to talk about at all. Maybe it wasn't part of their spiritual tradition growing up, or maybe they just don't like to talk about it. Some people talk about it too much. They're very sensitive to it. I think of that saying, you see the devil behind every bush, right? So spiritual warfare is one of those things that's, I don't know, hard to do a podcast episode on because you could talk about this in so many ways over long periods of time. Can we even do justice to it? But we're going to try, right, Dave?
Yes, absolutely.
Why do you think it's important to talk about this?
Well, I think, like you were teeing us up there so well, there's both sides of this. It's the way I often like to say it is there's, like Keith Green wrote a song many, many years ago that was titled No One Believes in Me Anymore. And it was as if the devil was singing and the tricks he had played so much that nobody even believes he's there. And then you got the other side of people who are opening their file cabinet drawer and it gets stuck and they think they need to bind the enemy. You know, and you have both of these sides. And my friend Dean Sherman calls it the balance of warfare. And I really like that term, the balance of warfare, because if you start biblically, you and I have to be honest that Jesus himself had to deal with the enemy. And you say, yeah, but that's Jesus. But then he taught his disciples to have to deal with the enemy. And we see the Apostle Paul and other followers of Jesus in the book of Acts doing the same thing, that they are dealing with the enemy. So it's not something that we can just kind of wish would go away, but instead we have to learn about it. If you grew up in a tradition like I did, where I didn't hear about it at all in church life till I left and joined Youth with a Mission and became a missionary, then you had to learn about it because you were really dealing with it. And so what we want to talk about today, we're hoping will be really practical to you in your own personal life and within your vocation.
This episode was actually inspired by a friend named Carmen who said, you know, we don't really hear about spiritual warfare very much, and we really don't hear about it as it relates to our work. Dave, you actually wrote an ebook that's available for free on our website, lionshare.org, where you can read everything we're talking about today. The title of that ebook is Spiritual Warfare in the Workplace: 10 Scriptural Weapons to Win the War at Work. Dave, why don't we start by reading Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, because that's the basis of what we're talking about.
Yeah, so this is Paul writing to a group of followers of Jesus in a city called Ephesus. So just imagine like maybe a small group on steroids. You know, maybe it was a bigger group in a larger home, but that's where they were meeting. And so they read this. One of the believers there, maybe one of the leaders, stands up and reads this. And we call it Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, but for them it was just a letter. And so they hear this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he finishes it by saying this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.
So the 10 things we're going to talk about today are not each of the pieces of the armor of God, which is what people would expect for us to talk about. We're going to talk about some themes of these weapons that can be used. And I think the word weapon is a little intimidating because it really does make it sound like warfare. But as we talk about them, think about what this would look like in your workplace or as you work, whether it be at home or somewhere else. The first one, Dave, is live a godly life. That seems obvious, but it is a weapon, isn't it?
It really is. From my vantage point, it's the base, it's the starting point. Because in John chapter 14, verse 30, Jesus makes the statement that the enemy has no claim on me, or he's got nothing on me, no influence on Jesus. And we want to walk in that same place as well. And so this means, in practicality, the confessing of sin. Like when there's sin there, it doesn't mean you're not saved. Of course you're saved if you've given your life to Jesus, but it hinders your walk with Jesus because it gives the enemy a foothold in your life where he can play on that. And I find, Sonia, that oftentimes this is the core of it all. And so living a godly life is not just pleasing God, and I don't mean to lower that at all, but what I'm saying is, and the point I'm wanting to make, it's also a spiritual warfare tactic. It's a weapon that we can use. So, you know, when you're living your life rightly before God, walking in integrity in the things that you're doing, the choices you're making on the job, guess what? It keeps the enemy from being able to get at you. So living a godly life, it's the foundation of all of these.
The second weapon we're going to talk about is the armor of God. And that's, of course, from the scripture in Ephesians you just read. We don't usually think about the armor of God when it comes to work. We think about it when we're heading out onto the mission field, mm-hmm. you know, a spring break trip or over the summer. What does that look like in the context of work?
Yeah, so, you know, I hope as you're listening to this, you will add to the getting dressed in the morning, brushing teeth, exercising, maybe quiet time, eating breakfast, that you will add to it, putting on the armor of God. And you go, well, Dave, is this like an empty exercise? No, it's not. It's a very real spiritual transaction. I wish I could send you a pair of glasses that you could just put on and look in the mirror and you go, whoa, look at as I just put my helmet of salvation, there it is. But it's there. It's there. And sometimes we need to have that on for things like lies. Have you ever been lied about on the job? Or the presentation that you gave, it was twisted in a certain way? Well, you want to be able to guard your own heart there, don't you? And having that armor on helps. We need to take the shield of faith to defend ourselves against fiery darts that the enemy wants to throw our way. I've had this experience numerous times within my own vocation where I had to raise up that shield of faith and say, okay, I'm not letting this thing get at me. The helmet of salvation, protecting your thought life. Like your thought life can go berserk. Like when someone gets a raise next to you and you didn't get it that day, your mind can just begin to race and the enemy kind of throws other thoughts in there. Yeah, you're not worthy. You're not good enough. You're a loser. There's no way you're ever going to get. You got to guard your mind in that. You got to guard your heart. So the armor of God, armoring up on the way to work, is an important thing to do.
Another one is intercessory prayer. Dave, I've heard you teach that this is not just a way to address a particular problem or an issue or even someone you're dealing with in the workplace. It's also preventive. You know, you and I have a friend who you write about in The Great Opportunity, your new book, who has established an intercession team for his business. We always think about setting up a board of directors or maybe a group of investors or things like that, but an intercession team for your business. What a great idea.
And he calls it a prayer board.
Yeah.
That's what he calls it. Yeah. I was just going to say another illustration of this one for me is I have a friend of mine who was a brigadier general. He had retired and he's now in heaven. But I'll never forget when I was visiting him. He was the military attaché in Brazil, and visiting him as about a 20, 21-year-old. And I'll never forget him saying, Dave, there are many times that I'm having to make decisions related to our troops and war. And as I'm sitting here, under my breath, I'm praying all day long. He recognized the opportunity to be preventative and in the midst of needing to have decisions to really rely on the Lord for wisdom. Is that not awesome that you have a general seeking God?
You know, I have an example of that too, Dave. My husband and I met this young man who runs a Capitol Hill Bible study group. And before he even holds the group, like the night before, he walks the hallways of both the House and Senate office buildings as a way to, you know, pray over his mission field, for lack of a better word, and for the people that might come, the person who's going to speak, you know, just that idea of taking territory, praying over it and contending for the people he's working with. I thought that was such a beautiful thing that he had committed to. Well, let's move on to our next weapon. Obviously, it's scripture. And our example of using it as a weapon is Jesus, right?
Yes. Yeah. And when Jesus is being tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4, you'll notice that the three different attacks on Jesus, he responds with quoting scripture. And it's not just random, like, okay, I'm just going to quote a scripture here. It's a direct hit back. And this is another reason why it's important to be in the Word. Like, if you're one of those people that are just, oh, my pastor, my small group, they always say, I need to be in the Word. You guys, it's not just to exercise being in the Word. It's actually muscles you up. And as you recognize and grow in the things of the Lord, you're able to take scripture. And when there is something that's going on, something maybe where, again, your mind is being attacked, or there's a person that is trying to attack you, you're able to pray. You're able to quote that scripture, not to the person. That's not what I'm saying. But you're able to quote that as a truth to stand against the enemy. Remember that when Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, you don't really have to go to the cross. And Jesus says, I rebuke you, Satan. He wasn't rebuking Peter. He saw behind it. And as we are in the Word of God, it gets in us and we're able to be more discerning and recognize when the enemy is actually behind it. It's not the person. It's the enemy using the person, the situation to get at you. Be in the Word of God. Use it as a tool. Use it as a weapon.
Dave, you know, it's probably been said that there's a recording, a record that can play in our minds about who we are, what we're not, that idea of taking captive every thought. Now, sometimes just standing on God's promises, but also what Scripture says about who we are, who I am. You know, I know some people who have a post-it note on their mirror. Whenever they wake up in the morning, go to bed, brushing their teeth, there it is. It tells me who I am. You know, I think I mentioned before on this podcast, I had a verse that was stuck on my computer monitor at work. And whenever I was feeling discouraged or misrepresented or misunderstood, I would look at that verse and it reminded me to do my work as unto the Lord. And having that always gave me perspective that I'm not just trying to please my earthly masters. You know, I'm doing my work as unto the Lord. So I think being in the Word, but also posting it in important places is a great way to protect yourself. Well, the next weapon we're going to talk about is the name and blood of Jesus. And actually, until I met you, I hadn't really been familiar with this concept. I'd heard some songs talking about the power and the name of Jesus, etc., but applying it to a physical place, can you talk more about that?
Yeah, so when we talk about the name and blood of Jesus, sometimes, you know, that could sound a little like the blood of Jesus can maybe sound odd, but when you hear the blood of Jesus, what it represents is his death on the cross and the authority that he has because he overcame, you know, the devil, hell, the grave. He's overcome that. So when you hear the blood of Jesus, like we would pray over our children oftentimes as they would head out for the day as kids, Lord, we just apply the blood of Jesus over their lives. Not as some wishful, magical words, but Lord, would that authority that you shed your blood for, would that be a protection today over our kids? And of course, the name of Jesus, the Bible tells us every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That name is above every name. So what I mean by this is there are times that we may face things. I'm going to share with you a little unusual event, but I want you to see how this can change things. So when I was working in Hawaii on the Big Island in Kona, it's actually a little community called Kealakekua, and we had a youth center there. It was called the Shiloh Corral, and it was a place where the high school kids, it was only about a half a mile away, they would come and they'd have hot dogs and hamburgers. We had foosball tables. We had all kinds of things. Well, as we were putting it together, it was the beautiful brown koa wood that you only find there in Hawaii, the benches and the tables. And then I had a gal on my team by the name of Hazel. Hazel was a green thumb. She's a botanist. She knew what she was doing. I said, Hazel, don't you think we could use a little green in here? She said, yeah, absolutely. So she goes and takes the budget, buys beautiful plants and ferns. And well, we're in there about a week later having our prayer time, and we're not ready yet to open the thing as we're a week or two away. And all the plants are dying. And I look at Hazel, and of course, I just tease her like, hey, Miss Green Thumb, like, what's going on? And she looks at me totally serious, and she says, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? It's like, are they not getting fertilizer, sun? What? No, she said, no, all that's good. They're the perfect plants for this, and they're dying. And so we just kind of said, well, keep us posted, let us know. So we go to prayer. We're not thinking about it anymore. We're going to prayer. But then one of the guys on my team says this, Dave, I'm sensing the Lord saying that there's a spirit of death over this place. And I said, what are you saying to me? He said, I don't know. I'm just being obedient to what the Lord's putting in my heart. So I looked at our team. It was about six or seven of us. I said, let's kind of armor up and let's just go to prayer and let's see how the Lord would lead us. Well, the Lord led us just to pray against a spirit of death in Jesus' name. So we did. We agreed in prayer. We weren't up shouting and all that, but we were aggressive with it. And well, I kid you not, days later, we're back up there and the plants are all fine, healthy, growing. And I look at Hazel and Hazel goes, I didn't do anything. She said, I think this has to do with our prayer. I think that's the end of the story. 2 years later, I had left Youth of the Mission. I was now living in Minnesota. And Stan, one of the young guys I had led to Jesus who was on my team, Stan calls me. He said, I need to tell you something. And he said, do you remember that day at Shiloh Corral, the plants, and we prayed and spirited? Yes, I do. I said, why? He said, Dave, I found out that Shiloh Corral, the actual building, had been built on a Hawaiian heiau. And a heiau was a place in the old days of Hawaii where they would do human sacrifices. There's no way that I could have ever figured that out. No way. But the Holy Spirit showed us through a physical thing that had happened to pay attention. And we didn't even connect the dots rightly until this moment. And Stan said, I thought I better call and tell you that. That's why we were dealing with this. So sometimes we just have to be aware that the actual physical locations we are in, there's been spiritual stuff way before you and I ever got here. And by cleaning it out in the name of Jesus, using the blood of Jesus, it works.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And you hear a lot of stories about that, this kind of thing overseas.
Yes.
I feel like I hear those stories more there, away from here, than I do in the U.S.
Yes.
And one day we'll kind of figure out what that's about. You hear a lot of those stories too from people who visit the Holy Land. Mm-hmm. There's some things, there's something about the geography, there's something about places that matter. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, number six on our list is unity as a weapon. And for me, this is probably one of the things I'm most concerned about these days and also the most convicted about. The devil is a divider, right? In Ephesians, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And that is just as significant today as back in the days when the believers in Ephesus were reading this letter from Paul. So I have to ask myself, we all have to ask ourselves, am I a source of division by my words, by my attitudes, by my actions? How many times is unity mentioned in the Bible, right? Unity is powerful.
Yes, it really is. And like the question you just asked yourself there, that's totally applicable in your workplace. Am I a source of division by my words, my attitudes, and actions? Like when the boss isn't there, do you bad talk him or her behind their back? That's a source of division. do you say things to other people that ends up getting back into their ears and then it's pointed to you? Like this is not a testimony of Jesus when this happens. And so it's the enemy, and he loves to divide. So just remember that when there's opportunity for division to happen, be a source of unifying.
And that is so true in the workplace. Grumbling, complaining, talking about people behind their backs. We think about it in the context of, are we dishonoring people? But there is this issue of unity. That's something we all need to think about. All right. Number 7 on our list, laying one's life down in obedience. What do you mean by that?
So when we look at portions of scripture, and I'm thinking a particular portion in the book of Revelation where they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. And one of the things that lists there is they did not love their lives even to the point of death. And the idea here is laying one's life down for somebody else. And the enemy never does that. See, the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy from someone's life. So it's laying one's life down, but there's also a connection here to obedience. And so we're calling this laying one's life down in obedience. And Jesus was obedient, Philippians 2, even to the point of death on a cross. And so one of the ways that we can defeat the enemy is, for example, if he's trying to, whether it's bring division or cause harassment into someone's life, and the Lord says, I want you to step in there and I want you to serve them. I want you to love them. I want you to lay your life down for them. It allows Jesus to show up into a dark situation. And so laying one's life down in obedience, you can be a bridge allowing Jesus to walk from your life into that situation, bringing light into darkness.
And sometimes that obedience requires a sacrifice, right? A few episodes ago, we talked about operating in the opposite spirit. So if you're working for someone you disagree with, or someone's working for you that you feel is being lazy or dishonest, or you have colleagues that you feel are doing less work than you are, asking the Lord, what am I supposed to do in this situation? What am I supposed to lay down? Dave, you have a whole section in your discipling tool, A Discipleship Journey, about laying down your rights, and we'll have to discuss that in another episode. All right, let's discuss another weapon we can use in spiritual warfare, thanksgiving, praise, and worship.
So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat is getting instructions of what God would have him do as they take territory, all right? And he gets the army ready and all this. And God says, before the army goes out, I want you to send out, in today's language, we'd say the worship team. Mm-hmm. And so imagine going into battle, but the worship team is going ahead of the army. And as the people are praising, it says the Lord set ambushes up amongst the enemy. And they defeated the enemy just by worshiping. And the principle there that we need to realize is that praise and worship is a very powerful thing. And it's when I know I'm going into something that's challenging, maybe this is your workplace and you're going into something challenging day in, day out, I spend time in worship because there's something about worship that not only gets my heart in a good place before the Lord, but it also lets me carry joy, gratefulness, and gratitude, that expression of love for God in worship into my workplace. I'm not saying anything about it as I go in there, but it's all dwelling in my heart that way. And I've actually seen people where there's darkness in their workplace actually have worship times there to expel the darkness. And so I just want to encourage you. It's something that the scriptures teach very clearly. And there's something about worship and praise. And I'll throw in there thanksgiving that can drive spiritual darkness away.
All right. Number 9 on our list of scriptural weapons is the word of one's testimony. I think this is a really important one these days because there's a lot of talk about your truth and my truth and the truth. And despite what people may feel about Jesus or Christianity or about the way you live your life, what you believe in, I feel like no one can argue with the truth of your experience. It's something that happened to you. Others can disagree with you. They can think you're wrong. They can think you're out to lunch, but nobody can disagree with the word of your testimony because it's your experience. It's your word.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so think about it this way. Think about both your experiences with God and how he's come through for you, but also recognize just the stories in Scripture. And so there are times for me when I'm facing maybe warfare, whether it's in a family situation, a relationship situation, a vocational situation, that I will sit down, and one of the things I deliberately do is I will verbalize the things God has done on my behalf before. And there's something about the word of your testimony, meaning what God has done for you, that you verbalize, whether it's just sharing it with someone, or for me, it might be sitting in the chair all by myself and I'm declaring it. God, last time I was in this situation, this happened, and you came through for me. So I know that you can do the same thing for me in this situation. And the Lord can take that and it becomes a weapon of warfare. It's not just a testimony of truth. It's a weapon of warfare that can defeat the enemy where he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy you.
Mm-hmm. And our last weapon here is sharing the gospel, sharing the life of Jesus with others, being prepared to share your own story or answer questions. Sometimes we forget that part, right? 1 Peter chapter 3, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. It's something we should be ready to do. Know your story, be ready to share it, and be able to answer questions. So let me review our 10 scriptural truths. Number one, living a godly life. Number two, putting on the armor of God. Number three, intercessory prayer. Number four, the scriptures. Number five, the name and blood of Jesus. Number six, unity. Number seven, laying one's life down in obedience. Number eight, thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Number nine, the word of your testimony. And number 10, preaching the gospel. What I would encourage you all to do is go on Lionshare's website, lionshare.org, and there'll be a pop-up there where you can type in your name and email address, and you'll get an email that will be sent to you where you can download this free ebook. You can read about what we discussed today and ask yourself, am I doing any of this? Are there some things on this list that I'm good at and others where I'm weak or that I've never even considered doing? Maybe you've never thought about spiritual warfare in the context of work. So I hope that this little ebook can be a tool for you. And while you're there, pick up a copy of Dave's new book, The Great Opportunity, Making Disciples of Jesus in Every Vocation. Well, we enjoyed having you along. We'll tune in for the next episode of Wisdom Unlocked, The Ways of God.
Wisdom Unlocked, The Ways of God is a production of Lionshare, a ministry that ignites and provides resources to disciple makers in the church and throughout the vocations. To learn more about what we do and how we can help you, please visit lionshare.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Vimeo.